Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Pei Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, the bottom line, Tanya Idach. At the end of our previous shiur, we had discussed Rabbi Yehuda Rameya, exactly what is the status of a suma, what is the status of a blind individual regarding different halachas. The beginning, at least, of today's shiur continues to discuss that subject. Says the Gemara, Tanya Idach Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Suma Ein Lo Baishus. There are no Baishus payments to us by a Suma. The Kenai Rabbi Yehuda Paitroi, we call Dinim Shebe Torah. All Dinim in the Torah Rabbi Yehuda exempts a Suma from. Ask the Gemara, my time Rabbi Yehuda, what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's ruling? Omakra, the Shafta Eda, Be Mako Be Goyal Hadam, Al Hamishpotim Ha'ela. Any individual who is in the category that he's chayiv if he kills someone, he's chayiv if golus. Goyal adam is another way of saying golus, because we know that if somebody kills someone b'shoigig and he doesn't go to the Ari Miklat, the goyal adam can kill him. He will be yeshtam b'mishpatim. All other halachas will apply to him. But anyone that the parasha of Makkah and Goyal Adam doesn't apply to, a Suma, as we said at the end of yesterday's shir, he too will be Einav Mishpatim, the Din Aboishis, or other Dinei Mamnis will not apply to him. So as Taishis, yesterday at the end of the shir, we had a limud that proved, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a Suma is exempt from Boishis. Why, asked Tysus, do we need a specific limud to teach us that, now that he's excluded from all mishpatim, so Baishis is included. Why do we need Baishis to be mentioned specifically? So Tysus answers that was all required, indeed, before we had today's Gemara. But now that we taka half today's Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda makes a much more general rule, and Rabbi Yehuda says that a Suma is exempt from Baishis, and there won't be a need to have a special limud to exempt them from Baishis. That's what Taisva says. Ask the Pnei Yeshua a gevaldig kasha. We've learned the concept many times that ein adam don gzer shava me'atzmai. A person can't make up his own gzer shava. Elam kain kivlam rabbeisav. A gzer shava is something that you learn from your Rebbe. You have a mesora. So obviously Rabbi Yehuda had a mesora that there is a gzer shava that teaches us the halacha of Baishis, that a suma is exempt. So we can't say, well, now I don't need it. It's a reality that he has that gzeira shava. So what happens to that gzeira shava? Pnei Yeshua's kasha on Taisus. So I saw two answers to the Pnei Yeshua's question. One answer is, as we learned at the end of the shir, Remeir proved that a suma is chayiv in Baishis. So even though Rabbi Yehuda is now teaching us that a suma is exempt, we call dinim shebetayra, which ostensibly includes baishis. If I wouldn't have a special limit, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to exclude him from baishis, we'd say, yes, he's excluded from all dinim, but baishis is a different rule, as Rabbi Meir will say from his limud. That's why we need a specific limud to exempt him from baishis, and it can't be included in the general rule. That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat I saw is this interesting pshat. We're going to discuss this concept further in today's Shir Mitzvah Hashem. And that is that even though a Suma, while he's a Suma, is exempt from Baishis, what would be the halacha if a Suma was Mavayish somebody and then he gets better? Baruch Hashem, now he can see. So maybe then we would think, now he's not a Suma and he has to pay for the Baishis that he did while he's a Suma. So I have a pasuk that says that he's totally exempt, and anything that happened while he's a Suma, he will be forever exempt from. Tanya Idach, another version, final version, of what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Suma ain't like Baishis. Suma is not in the category to be chayiv for Baishis. And furthermore, says Rabbi Yehuda, can Rabbi Yehuda Paitrai become mitzvah Amoris Bataira? He's potter from all mitzvahs that the Torah tells us that we have to do. Omrav Shesha Breder of Idi my Tam Rabbi Yehuda Omakra Veila Mitzvah Sachukim Mishpatim Kol Sheyeshna B'Mitzvahs Mishpatim. Whoever is Chayiv in all the Dinei Mominus Yeshna B'Mitzvah Sachukim is included in all other Dinim. Kosh ain't a mishpatim. Anybody that's not included in the Dine Mominus, and we just finished proving that Asum is excluded, will ainoi be mitzvah sechukim. Will not be included in mitzvah sechukim. So there's a very big machloikus for Shayim. So we clearly have learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to discuss this more in the Gemara, Asuma is pata mikol mitzvah shebetayra. What does mitzvah mean? Mitzvah asay. Machloikus for Shayim, what will be the din regarding mitzvahs loisasei? Will a suma be exempt from mitzvahs loisasei, or will he even be exempt only from mitzvahs asei, not from mitzvahs loisasei? It's actually the subject of a machlokes rishonim. However, says the Minchas Chinuch, that even though we're saying that a suma is certainly part of all mitzvahs asei, and perhaps even from all mitzvahs loisasei, he is not worse than a goy. And just like Zayim mitzvahs b'nei noyach, Goyim are obligated, so too a suma. So otherwise, we could have a world that's crazy. A suma will be allowed to kill and steal and do whatever if we're saying he's part of the mitzvahs. So certainly, he's no worse than a goy, points out the Minchas Chinuch. Ask Taisus, that there's a Gemara in Masechta Megillah that says, speaks about the subject of Pyrus al-Shema. The easiest way to explain Pyrus al-Shema is that they would have a Baal Tefillah that would say the Birchas Krishma out loud, and he would be might say the entire Tzibur. And the Gemara discusses if a Suma could be Pyrus al-Shema, and the Gemara says a Suma could be Pyrus al-Shema. And the question is, if we're learning now that a Suma is part of the Mikom Mitzvah Shebetayra, so how could it be Paris al Shema? So there are a lot of different answers that the Rishonim attempt to give. They want to differentiate between a Suma who was blind from birth versus a Suma who became blind. A Suma that's blind from birth will probably remain a Suma. That the Suma that became blind could be healed perhaps. But Taisa says that there's a very big difference between a Suma that even though a suma is part of mikol mitzvah shebetayra, as Rabbi Yehuda says, that's only midaraisa. But midrabanan, a suma is mechuyev mikol mitzvah shebetayra. And if so, we can understand the Gemara Masecht Megillah. He's pyrus al shema because he's mechuyev in the mitzvah midrabanan. Even though that opens up a big question, because if we're saying that the obligation of a suma is only midrabanan, the halacha is that a katan, who's only mechuyev in mitzvahs midrabanan, cannot be pyrus al shema for the tzibur. So if we're saying that a suma is only mechuyev midrabanan, so why is he different than a katan? That's mechuyev midrabanan. Yet a katan can't be mitzi the tzibur, and a suma can. So to that, the achroinim attempt to answer that you can't compare a katan to a suma. Because a suma is really an adult that has a problem. A katan is, in general, he doesn't fall into the category. That's one of a person that's mechuy b'mitzvahs. But then there's a very nice teretz that the achroinim give. We're used to explaining that the obligation of a katan to do mitzvahs, since he's only a katan, not a bar mitzvah, is only midrabanan. That's not pshat the achroinim say. A katan chiyuv is not like we have chiyuvim. Certain mitzvahs were mechuyiv to do with the raisa. Certain mitzvahs were only mechuyiv to do with the rabbanan. A katan's chiyuv is because of chinuch. It's not the raisa or the rabbanan. It's a concept that we have to be mechanuch. We have to educate the katan. And education involves him doing the mitzvahs that he should know what to do when he becomes a gadol. That isn't the raisa or the rabbanan. That's called chinuch. So a suma's chiyuv is midrabanan. And in fact, the Gemara is teaching us, according to Tosfos, that the Suma is Mechuy Midrabanan, Kibi Maitzi Mi, that's Mechuy Midaraisa. Why? Because we're all Mechuyiv. Maybe his Chiv is less than mine. But the Katan is not less Chiv or more Chiv. It's a different category. It's called Chinuch. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef. We know Rabbi Yosef was blind. Says Rabbi Yosef, Reish Hav Amina, at the beginning I would say, Man Dama Lach Rabbi Yehuda, whoever says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that that assume is potter mikolam mitzvahs, dam assume potter mina mitzvahs, kavidna yom etavel rabbanan. It would cause me to make a yontif, my tama, the loim of fikidna, that I'm not obligated to do a mitzvah, for kavidna mitzvahs. And yet I, Reb Yosef, do the mitzvahs, so it shows how I should be commended. I'm not obligated to do something, and I still do it. And therefore, I was very happy, and I made a suda. So Mefarshim ask that how could Rabbi Yossi been so happy? Let's say he's indeed not obligated to do the mitzvahs, and we're going to learn now till we get to the next line of Gemara that's something very commendable, but he can't make a bracha. Right? Can't make a bracha if you're not mechuyif. So why is he so happy? He loses out the opportunity to do the bracha. Says Tosfos, and this is the basis for famous psak of Tosfos, or Rabbeinu Tam, that a person can make a bracha even if they're not obligated to do the mitzvah midaraisa, even if they're not obligated to do the mitzvah at all. And that's why bracha isn't a concern, because he can make the bracha, which is the basis of the minig of the Ramah, Rabbeinu Tam, which is Ashkenazic minig, that even though women we know apart from mikom mitzvah sasechus man grama, they're not obligated to do the mitzvah, our women still make the bracha in Ashkenazic community. That's why when a woman sits in the sukkah, she makes a leish of a sukkah. She takes the dalaminim, she makes a bracha. She's not mechui, mitzvah sasechus man grama. So suma is just like a suma. The Rambam we know disagrees, and the Rambam holds that women are in a mitzvah that they're potter, they don't make any bracha. How will the Rambam deal with our Gemara? So the Rishonim want to say that there's a difference between a suma and a woman. Because a suma, at least at this point of the Gemara, is not obligated in any mitzvah. She's not obligated in any mitzvah. So if he's not going to make a bracha, he'll never be able to make a bracha. A woman has many mitzvahs she's obligated. It's only mitzvah to say she's man groma. So says the Rambam, the mitzvah she should do, the mitzvah she's mechuyiv, make a bracha, and the mitzvah she's not mechuyiv, it's not a problem. She still has plenty of opportunity to do a bracha. It's interesting to note, we know that even according to the minig of the Ramah, that women make a bracha, mitzvah sasechus man groma, havdolah, the Ramah says, women shouldn't make. And the Magen Avraham actually asks, if we're saying that women, according to our minig, can make a bracha, mitzvah sasechus man groma, so why is havdolah different? I saw two answers. The Magen Avraham says there's a difference between a mitzvah that has a maisa, that has an act attached to it, sitting in the sukkah, taking the dalaminim. The theater of Ramah holds that even though it's a mitzvah seishas ma groma, women make a bracha, versus a mitzvah that doesn't involve any act. Havdalah, you just say the bracha. There, even the Ramah will agree that women don't make a mitzvah seishas ma, a bracha on a mitzvah seishas ma groma. It's a very big question. The Bach, disagrees. The Brach says a chiddush. The Brach says sometimes there's a mitzvah and a bracha. So if a woman does a mitzvah and there's a bracha, so there she makes a bracha if she's doing the mitzvah. Sometimes the mitzvah is the bracha. Havdalah, the mitzvah is the bracha. There women don't make. Benching is not mitzvah, say she's my grandma. What do you call it? So therefore, women should not make that bracha. Of course, that has nothing to do with Ner and Havdalah, the Ner and Psamim. Those are brachas that a woman could certainly make. Which bracha? It's not today, so man is which bracha. So those mitzvahs a woman shouldn't make the bracha on, even according to Ramah. However, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yossi, hash the shamet lahod Rabbi Chanina. But now that I heard what Rav Chanina said, Dom Rav Chanina, Gola Mitzvah Oysa. So before I go further, one more question, important question that the Rishonim and Achronim discussed. Rav Yossi was saying that what he did was very great. He's not obligated to do the mitzvah, and yet he does it. But we know that the Gemara says, Kol Mishenim Chui B'Dover. If somebody's not obligated to do something, Vaiseu, when he does it, Nikra Hedyet. He's called a fool. So why is Rav Yosef so proud about doing something that he's not obligated to do? So I saw three terutzim to that teretz, to that question. One teretz is that when is it considered Nikra Hedyet? If there's something which is not a mitzvah at all to do, and I go and I create a mitzvah, who asked you? That's a Hedyet. Here, what Rav Yosef was doing was a mitzvah. It may not be a mitzvah for him because he's unfortunately blind. That's why it's not Nikra Hedyet. That's one teretz. Another teretz is if somebody goes and accepts a chumrah on himself that has no basis in halacha, that's a hedyet. But let's say somebody accepts upon himself a chumrah because it's going to make him a better person. That's not a hedyet. Rav Yosef said, I took upon myself the mitzvahs even though I wasn't obligated because I realized it would make me into a better individual. And then the Gra says a very interesting teretz. The Gra says that sometimes we fulfill a mitzvah, but by fulfilling a mitzvah, we may also at the same time be doing an aveira. But the mitzvah is a mitzvah. The example I always think about is Shabbos. A Jew has an obligation to earn a panasa. That doesn't mean he's allowed to open his business at Shabbos. Why? Because he has to be shomer Shabbos. But let's say there would be no din of Shabbos. He should open his business at Shabbos. He has to earn a living. So where there's a mitzvah, that by performing a mitzvah, you're also going to be doing something maybe that's wrong. So the mitzvah supersedes the aveira. Where? For the person who's obligated to do the mitzvah. But let's say by performing a chumrah, there's no downside, that's not called hedyet. Here, Rabbi Yosef did the mitzvahs that there was no downside to. However, says Rabbi Yosef, V'hashta l'hamet l'shamis l'hod Rav Chanina. Now that I heard what Rav Chanina said, Dom Rav Chanina, Gol ha-metzuv v'oysa, mishena metzuv v'oysa. It's really greater if you are obligated to do something. So now, I'm not obligated to do the mitzvah. I'm not obligated to do a mitzvah. So then I'm not getting schar. Now he says, if somebody would say that the aloch is not like Rabbi Yehuda, avidna yom tov l'rabbonin, then I'll be happy. My tama, the chemin figna, because I want to be obligated to do the mitzvah, because then isli agrat fei, I'll have more schar. Why is the halacha? Why is the rule God la mitzvah v'aisa, misha ena mitzvah v'aisa? So I saw many different pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat is, if a person is obligated to do a mitzvah, he's nervous, he's concerned that he's going to do it. If you're not obligated, so you don't have any of that nervousness. That is one factor. Another pshat that I saw, is somebody is obligated to do a mitzvah, so then he has a yetzahara trying to convince him not to do the mitzvah. But if he's not obligated to do the mitzvah, he doesn't have any yetzahara. So that's why mitzvah voice is greater. Another pshat, Ramban's pshat. The Ramban says as follows. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really need our mitzvahs? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really need our mitzvahs. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't understand God's ways, has decided that the world needs that this mitzvah should be done. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to go. But it's only a mitzvah if you're obligated to do the mitzvah. If you're not obligated to do the mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need it. And that's why Gola Mitzvah Vaisa, Mishena Mitzvah Vaisa. The Paiskim also point out that this Gemara is the basis for making a Suda by a Bar Mitzvah. Because what did Rav Yosef say? As soon as I recognize that I'm obligated to do a mitzvah, I made a Yontif, I made a Suda. So we see that when somebody becomes obligated to do a mitzvah, it's a cause for celebration. And that's the basis for making a bar mitzvah suda. It doesn't say what kind of suda to make. It just says you should make a suda. The Mefarshim also ask, we know, it says in Pirkei Avos, we're not supposed to serve Hashem for reward. So why is Rabbi Yosef saying, I was happy because I get more reward, less reward. Are we allowed to serve Hashem for reward? So the Gra says, interesting teretz, the Gra says, of course, we're not allowed to serve Hashem for reward. But Rabbi Yosef was a great onuf. He was a very modest person. And he viewed himself as a person that isn't on the madrega that serves Hashem purely l'shem shemayim. He says, listen, this is the way I am. I do serve Hashem for reward, and therefore, this is what I prefer. But then I saw another pshat, beautiful pshat. To serve Hashem for reward, I'll come to the shir and you make a deal with God. I'll come to the shir and you take care of me. But it also says the Pirkei Avos, schar mitzvah mitzvah. That what is a schar of a mitzvah? That a person who does mitzvah is given the opportunity to do more mitzvahs. You come to shir, so you daven better, you do other mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to do mitzvahs. That type of schar, that's fine, that you could have kavana for such schar. That's what Rabbi Yosef meant. I was happy if I'm obligated and I'll get more schar. What kind of schar? Not gashmias. I'll get more schar mitzvah mitzvah, that I'll be able to do more mitzvahs. Says the Mishnah. Zechayim v'adam v'shar. There are certain stringencies by an adam versus an animal. Shadam mishalim, as we've been discussing from the beginning of this parak, nezek tzar ripu shevus abayshus, or mishalim d'me v'lodis, if he unintentionally hits a woman who's pregnant and she miscarries, he has to pay the value of those fetuses. V'shar enim mishalim el nezek, he doesn't pay tzar ripu shevus abayshus, or patam d'me v'lodis. Continues the Mishnah, Hamakas Ovivis Imoy, Veloyasa Mechabura. As we discussed in the previous shiur, the only time there's a chiyuv misa, if somebody hits a parent, that the Torah says, Maka Oviv Imoy, Mois Yumas, is if it's a Maka Shiesh Bechabura, that as we explained, there's some sort of internal, external bleeding. So here, he Rahman Slan hit his parent, but there was no Chabura, as we described the case in the previous shiur. Or chayv b'chaveroi b'yom kippur, and yom kippur there is no chiv misa if you hit somebody. So since there's no chiv misa, so there's no kimle b'drabimenei, and that's why it's chayv b'kulan. He has to pay nezek tzari p'shevus and b'yishus. Hachayv b'evet ivri. If somebody hits an evet ivri, injures an evet ivri, chayv b'kulan chutz mina shevus. You don't have to pay shevus because if you hit your own evet ivri, his time is your time. His man, shushalai. That's if you own it. So you don't have to play fair as an unemployment, because his unemployment is really yours. Hachayvel be'ev kanani shalachayrim. If somebody injures somebody else's ev kanani, again, chay be'kulan. Yehuda Omer, ein avadim boishes. There is no boishes when it comes to avadim. Cheresh v'shayt v'katan, pigyas and raw. They're a very bad situation. If somebody comes into contact with them. Because a chayvul behen, if somebody injures them, he's chayiv. However, since they're cheresh shayt v'katan, v'chem shechavul b'cheirim, if they were to injure someone else, they would be patur. However, v'isha, evid or isha, they too are pigyos and raw. For a chayvul behen, if somebody injures them, chayiv, whereas v'chem shechavul b'cheirim, if they damage someone else, they injure somebody else, p'turim. Avol v'sham l'achazman. Even though we're saying that a woman who doesn't have her own money, because or a knani that doesn't have his own assets, because everything he owns is really owned by his owner, they, the Gemara will explain, even if they intentionally injure someone else, they will be p'tur from paying for the damages. We'll explain in the Gemara why. If somebody damages them, then you're chayiv. However, says the Mishnah, nizgar she'isha, nishtacher evet, chayovin l'shalom. Which means as follows. When we say that a woman is not obligated to pay if she damages someone else, it's not to mean that she's totally exempt. Certainly she's an intelligent woman. And if she damages someone, she should have to pay. Just because she doesn't have her own assets, we can't force her husband to pay for what she does. But now let's say she divorced, or her husband dies, and now she has her own assets, and the Rishonim even give examples how a woman can be married and have her own assets, so then she would have to pay, because she's not really exempt. However, and that's what the Mishnah says. So now the Rishonim discuss, what will be the din by a katan? Let's say a katan does damage. So while he's a katan, he doesn't have to pay. But now, Baruch Hashem becomes bar mitzvah. Does he have to pay for the damages he did while he was a katan? Shulchan Aruch says he doesn't have to pay. It's not the same as an isha. An isha is really an intelligent woman. She doesn't have her own assets, so she doesn't pay. And when she does have her own assets, she will pay. A katan is not a bar das. Although I have to say, there is an opinion amongst the Rishonim that if a katan did damage as a katan, when he becomes bar mitzvah, he should pay for the damages he did while he was still a katan. But I also have to indicate a very interesting psak that I saw from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish discusses the following shaila. There was a mother, a father, doesn't make a difference, that took a child into a store and didn't properly supervise the child. The child did damage in the store. So the storekeeper said, your child did damage here, he has to pay. So he was a Talmud Chacham, he came to the Daf Yomi Shir. He said, Chereshayt v'katan, pigyasin ra. It says that if a katan does damage, you're not responsible. So he went to Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, of course he's chayiv. What's pshat chereshayt v'katan, pigyasin ra? If there's a child that is totally on his own, goes and does damage, or he was properly supervised and he does damage, pigyasin ra. If you don't watch your child, it's not your child that did damage. You did the damage. You should have watched your child. You shouldn't have put your child in the middle of a place where he could do damage if he's not properly supervised. So yes, said the Chazon Ish, chereshayt v'katan apater. But that doesn't pater you, that doesn't exempt you for not watching your child properly. This guy, says the Mishnah, hamaka over the imoy, we are asked if somebody is maka over the imoy v'asa b'chabura, and he does do a chabura, so therefore he has a chiv misa, so we apply kima b'drabbanei, or hachayv chaver b'shabbos, again, he's chayiv v'chil shabbos, misa, there he's part mekulin, he doesn't pay damages, but nay, shunidim b'nafsha, we say kima b'drabbanei. I sort of was trying to ask an interesting question. We know one of the fundamental rules in Hilchos Shabbos is that mekalkel, if somebody does something in a damage, in a destructive fashion, it's not called Chil Shabbos. So if somebody's chayvel, someone else, he injures him, isn't that called mekalkel? And if he's mekalkel, he should be chayiv misa, because you're not chayiv misa for mekalkel. So Rishonim say very interesting teretz. Why does somebody go and hit someone else, at least intentionally? Because I'm not saying it's correct attitude, I'm just saying that's the reality. It makes him feel better. So it's not a mekalkel. The benefit that he feels better now that he was able to release and hit the person that he's angry at, that's not a mekalkel. That's actually positive. That's constructive, and that's why it's chayiv misa. Hachayvel be'evik kanani shloi. If somebody injures his own evik kanani, of course it's also to do such a thing. Pata mikula. Boimenei revelazim erav. They ask the following question. Hachayvel vas ketana shalachayim. If somebody injures someone else's daughter who's still a ketana, chavala lami, who receives the chavala payment? Mi amrinat, kiven de akne lei rachmona shvach nurim la'av, since we know that the father is entitled to marry off his daughter, he's entitled, when she's a ketana, he's entitled to her earnings while she's a ketana, so therefore, chavala nami davu hava. Certainly he's entitled if she gets injured. My tama, the ifchsa mekaspa. She's his property, as hard as it is to say. And therefore, it's no different than anything that's his property that if it gets damaged by someone else, he's entitled to the payment. Shvachn urim hu da'akten l'rechmona. What does that mean? The boy l'mimsalol mukashchin, that a father has the right to decide whom he should give his daughter to marry. Motzi Moser, he has that right. Ava Chavola, regarding Chavola, Kivin the boy Mischababa, your father has no right to hit his daughter, therefore, Motzi Chavola, he's not allowed to hit her, therefore, like Kanye Le Rachmana, similarly, if there is a Chavola, he's not entitled to that payment. The Rishonim point out that certainly Al Gemara is referring to a Ketana. But Ketana, the halach is, that the father is entitled to her earnings, and the father is entitled to marry off to whomever he wants. However, a Na'ara, the din changes. He is entitled to her earnings, but he's not entitled to marry off anymore to whomever she wants. So what will be the status of a Na'ara? Will the Gemara Shaila apply to a Na'ara also? Or is the Gemara, because he has the right to get her earnings or not? It's actually a debate amongst the Rishonim. Amalei, So he responded, Lozoch Sotar La'av El Shvach Nurim Bovad. Her earnings, narrowing her off, he's allowed to keep. But Chavolo, if she's injured, the payments that we've been discussing, that he's not entitled to. Eisvei, ask the Gemara, says in a Braisa, we learned in our Mishnah actually, Hachoyva Ba'avad Ivri, if somebody injures an Avad Ivri, Chai B'Kulon, he has to pay all the various damages, Chutz Min HaShevis, except for the unemployment, it's not true Shalai, because it's his anyway, that the unemployment is his. So you see, that where the person is mine, I'm entitled. Amar Abaya, Moider of Sheish, Moider Rav. Rav agrees that as far as the Shevis is concerned, the father gets it. Why? The Masi Yodea, at Shas Bagrus, anything that she earns until she becomes a Bagaris, Davu Hava, belongs to the father. And therefore, since it belongs to the father, that for sure is he's entitled to him. Eisvei asked the Gemara, Hachayvul b'bnai Godel, if somebody hits b'bnai Godel, nobody, and a father's rights b'bnai Godel, he has no real monetary rights, yitloi miyad. So he has to pay for what he did. B'bnai Cotton, if it was a b'bnai Cotton, there, yasloi segula. Yasloi segula will explain later. It's Yasloi segula is the first place we find a trust fund. But we'll see what exactly how the trust fund was set up later in the shir. Machlokes Rishonim, what does Yasloi mean? Is it the father's obligation to set up the trust fund, or is it the Bezdin's obligation to set up the trust fund? Hachayva Bitoi Ktana Potter. If somebody injures his own Bita Ktana, he's Potter. So we see again that it's the father that gets it, not the daughter. So again, the Gemara's question on Rav is that Rav said that the father doesn't get the payment. Here the Braisa says that the father does get the payment. Answers the Gemara, Hakinami b'Shevis. We're referring to Shevis. And Shevis, the Gemara just said a moment ago, that even though Rav says regarding the other payments, the father isn't entitled Shevis, since all of her earnings come to the father, the Shevis will go to the father, and that is what Rav says this Braisa means. Says the Gemara, Ubnoi Godel, we just learned that if he was Chayvel, and his adult son, Yitin L'miyad, he has to give the payment to the son, V'reminu, ask the Gemara, it says in the following Braisa, HaChayvel V'anav Ubnoi Yisuf Shalachayrim, if somebody injures someone else's adult children, Yitalem Miyad, he should pay right away. Ketanim, if they're still Ketanim, Yaslem Segula. We'll explain. But Benoisef Shaloi, if he hits his own children, Potter. So we have a question. Here it says that if somebody injures his own adult son, he has to pay the damages. And not only does he have to pay him, he has to pay them immediately. And here it says, Potter. How do we reconcile these two brises? Amri answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha. Kansha smuchim al shulchanoi, and kansha ain't smuchim al shulchanoi. If he's supporting the children, if he's supporting these children, adults even, so then if he injures them, he's not obligated to pay. If on the other hand he's not supporting them, then he's obligated to pay. Says the Gemara. So now, b'mayu kimta l'kamaisa, how are we now explaining the first Braisa, the Braisa that we learned on top of the Amid, that says that if somebody injures his own children, he has to pay. We explain that's referring to a situation that he's not supporting them. But she'ein smuch mal shulchanai, that he's not supporting them. Ask the Gemara if that is the case of the Braisa, yochi eim seifa. Let's continue learning that Braisa. It says, Hachoyva b'tiktana potter. If somebody injures his own daughter who's a ktana, he's potter. V'loyoyit ela cheirim shechavl bo, if somebody else injures her, chayavim liten levoya. They have to pay the father. Ask the Gemara if that price is referring to a situation that he's not supporting her, then lead up by the mace of law. Then she should be entitled to the payment. The boy mezoini, that she needs that money to support herself. Because we're saying that that brisa is referring to a situation that the father isn't supporting the daughter. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, because a filo man da omer, we learned from Masechta Ksubis, the yochal rav loyma le'eved, a owner could say to his eved kanani, asei mi ve'eni zoncha, you have to work, and I won't support you. Hani mi le'eved kanani, that is only said regarding eved kanani domele, because an owner could say to his eved kanani, ovid avidita kol yoyma, do your job all day long, ula urta, from what are you going to live? Ulter zor schar ve'ochol. At night, to pshatim, number pshatim, go take another job to earn money to have to eat. Or schar, schar means go round. At night, go from house to house to collect food. But that, says the Gemara, is only ben eved kanani, ben eved ivri, that the Torah says ki toiv lo imach, and we learned in Masechta Kedushin, imcha b'machol, imcha b'mishta, that you can't tell that to an Eved Ivri. If you're going to make the Eved Ivri work, you have to support him. Certainly, Lakoshkem Britoi, you can't tell your daughter, I'll get all your earnings, I'll get anything you earn, and you have to support yourself. So now we have a question, just to review. If we're established that this first brice that we learned on top of the Amid is referring to a daughter, referring to children, that the father is not supporting, and the father, we just said, has no right, if he's not going to support his children, to say, your earnings I keep. Your supporters are on your own, not like an Eved Kanani. So why is the halacha that if he injures her, or someone else injures her, he's entitled to the payment? The payment should go to her. She needs it to live. He isn't supporting her. Answers the Gemara, K'rama Rava Berei D'Rav Ula, L'Nitzcha El HaDofa, Hachanam L'Nitzcha El HaDofa. It's referring to a situation that she needs a certain amount to support herself, to live, whatever she needs, food, clothing, etc. And because the father is not giving it to her, any way she earns money, the first, let's say she needs $100 a week to live. So any $100 a week that she earns, the first $100 goes to her. But let's say you have here a very large settlement for the damages that were done to her. So she's only entitled to the amount that she needs to live. Everything above that shear goes to the father. That's what the brisa means. That the brisa means that the father collects, not the entire payment. He collects everything above what she needs to live. Continues the Gemara. But my kumtala b'sraisa, the second brisa that we quoted after the two dats, we explained was referring to a situation, b'smuchim al shulchanai, that the father is supporting the children. The Deir Aloch is, G'doylem Yitilam Miyad, K'tanim Yaslam Segula. That if they're adults, they should get the payment immediately. If they're K'tanim, make a trust fund. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that that price is referring to a situation that the father's supporting them, that he should be entitled to the payment. Abai, L'bmiya B'aylam Esri. Shouldn't the father collect it? Amri, answers the Gemara, Kikop kapid b'midah de kachaser b'midah de os ba'amaloi kapid. When does a father, the Gemara Masechta Ksuba keeps on using the concept of eva. If a person is supporting his child, the same as by a wife, if we learned the Masechta Ksubas, and then the cost is all on his cheshbon, and then when she earns money, she says, I keep the money. So that's a very unfair situation. So that's in a situation where he's supporting and she's earning. So there has to be a fair trade-off. Here, we're not referring to a situation that the son went and earned money. And he says, you know what, his father, although there are many fathers that are very nice, we're talking about the halacha. The father could say, if I support, I'm entitled to your wages. Here, it's not wages that the son earned that he should have to turn over. There was an accident. There was a chavala. That the father doesn't care. And that the father says, you could keep. Ask the Gemara, if we're saying that it's not something that's, so to speak, regular. It's not like wages. There, the father's not makpid. Ask the Gemara for metziah. If somebody finds something, which is also a situation, the Me'amakasal, it's not a regular situation, it's an extraordinary situation where somebody finds something in the street. And yet, the Kakapit, the halacha is that if a father is supporting a child, and the child walks in the street and he finds something, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, that he has to turn it over to the father. But the question is why? Didn't we just say that anything that's extraordinary, whether it's a chavala, whether it should be the same by Metzia, he should be able to keep? Why a Metzia does the child not keep? Does the child not keep? And a chavala damages he does keep? Answers the Gemara. Vamitsiya, again, the Ma'amaka Asale, that he doesn't work for, the Kakapit, answers the Gemara. Amri. Ravacha the Ka'asale Ma'alma, Veleslut Sara, Dugafayu, Begaval Kapit. He says, yes, a Mitsiya is something that isn't a regular situation, that he earns wages. But a Mitsiya he didn't have to work for. He didn't have to suffer to get the Mitsiya. So the father wants the Mitsiya. Ava chavala, it has two characteristics. Number one, the eslitzara de gufayu. The chavala didn't come free. The chavala means that he got injured. Furthermore, ma'ama laslu, it's not something that he earned by himself wages. On that, lo kapit. Ask the Gemara, v'ha asam, this eslitzara de gufa, in the case of chavala, where the daughter suffers tsar. And furthermore, ma'alma kasla, she didn't earn it, the kakapit, the tani, we see yet that the father's entitled to it, because it said, v'loi oid, ala filu acherim shechavl ba, chayov and liten lavuya. But ask the Gemara, didn't we just establish that any situation that she didn't work for it, and furthermore, it came with pain, she keeps. So we have a question. Why is the halacha in the first braisa, that the father gets it, that chavala is mi alma with tsar, so she should get it. Answers the Gemara. Hasam, the gavra kabdanahu. Bryce is talking about two different individuals. As we've been explaining, we have two Bryces, and there's a fundamental difference in the two Bryces. The first Bryce is referring to a situation, a father that's not supporting his children. The second Bryce is referring to a father who is supporting his children. Says the Gemara. When you have a father that doesn't support his children, so we see that we're dealing with a person that wants every penny for himself, doesn't even support his own children. So there, we don't say that if she was damaged, she was injured, so the money came mi alma, and the money came with tsar, the father says, you keep it. The father, this kind of father doesn't have that kind of attitude. Hasam, that we're referring to an individual, the gavra kabdanahu, ain't smuchim al shulchanai. He's not even supporting his children. There, I feel the mida, the aslam alma, even though it came without her working for it, and it came with tsar, kakapit. Hocha, but the second brice, as we've been explaining, is referring to an individual, the lav kabdanu. He's not a tough person. What's the proof? The smuchim al shulchanai. He has no problem supporting his children. So there, kikapit. When does he want to keep the mita de kachosalei? If he supports his children, he wants his children to turn over the wages to him. The mita, the oslo ba'alma, whereas something that they didn't work for, it's not a regular situation, there was a chavala, and as we explained, there was tsar, loikopid, and he lets the child keep it. So we kept on talking about the skula. If it was a cotton, make a skula for it, the trust fund. What is a skula? Says the Gemara of Chizda Amma, Sefer Torah. Buy a Sefer Torah. Rabbi Barafun Amma, Dikla, buy a tree, the Ochlamine Tamri, that gives figs. The Kain. So I saw a very interesting Rajbam. The Rajbam says in Masechta Bava Basra as follows. That really everybody agrees that a Dekel is more of a trust fund than a Sefer Torah. You can't make a living off a Sefer Torah. And that's why the Rajbam says, it's specifically a Sefer Torah that this Tana says. What does he mean? He says as follows. A trust fund is a trust fund that you buy an investment that will bring in some profit. And that's why I buy a dekel. I guess they didn't have interest-bearing accounts. However, a Sefer Torah, says the Rashbam, is something that everybody has to write for themselves. The last mitzvah of the Torah. So since you have to write a Sefer Torah, so it's a good investment. Because buying a Sefer Torah for the child, you buy the Sefer Torah now, so you won't have to write a Sefer Torah when he becomes an adult. Anything else, however, that he won't have to do when he's an adult, that won't be considered in the category of a trust fund. Continues the Gemara. V'ken amar ish lakish, loizach su Torah la'av, the father, the Torah only gave a father the right, el shvach ne'urim bilvad. Rav Yochanan amar, afilo pat tziya. Tziya means that somebody hit her, the father's entitled to it. Tziya sakadaitach, says the Gemara, does it refer to a situation where it was just somebody hit her? Afilo Rav Lezal kamabayalei el chavola. He was talking about a damage that we described in Amman Aleph that her worth diminished. In a situation that she doesn't go down in value, like Kamabayle, then the father is certainly not entitled because it doesn't affect her value. What was our argument on the bottom of Peizayin Amman Aleph that the father should get the chavola because it's his shvach n'urim that's being affected. But here, his value isn't affected. Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina, it's not referring to petzia, that somebody gave her a slap in the back that doesn't diminish her value. It's referring to patza b'fanel, somebody slapped in the face, and it leaves a scar, that she now has less value, and that's why the father's entitled, because he will not get the same ability to marry her off, of seller because she doesn't have the same value.